You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
At the end of 1 year and approaching another new year, time commands the attention of the whole world. It won't be long now when we shall be entering the last decade of the 20th century. Looking back over the last 90 years makes one aware of the awesome mass of information that has accumulated during this time. Knowledge has increased by leaps and bounds. In the ordinary course of human events, we talk glibly about splitting atoms, building bigger skyscrapers, exploring outer space, and even untying some of the scientific knots that appear to be getting more and more numerous, and at the same time more and more dangerous. When it comes to tomorrow, however, we're in about the same spot in which the writer of the book of Proverbs found himself. "Do not boast about tomorrow," he said, "for you do not know what a day may bring forth." He was not talking about the 21st century or even next year, but about the next day, tomorrow. "God only knows about tomorrow," said this writer of Proverbs. That's not just a manner of speaking. It hits the nail right on the head. In fact, it conks on the head a lot of people who think they know all about tomorrow and wake up the next morning to find out that they were dead wrong. How many politicians were elected promising that there would be a balanced budget by a certain date, which has long since passed? At this point in time, as the politicians always say, the whole world is awash in a sea of debt. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Scientists project, predict, deduce, and compute diagrams of the future. It must be obvious by this time that they are just as good at guessing as the politicians. In algebraic terms, tomorrow is still the X factor, the mystery it has always been. We have not advanced more than an inch or two beyond the predictions of the past, and often we have proved ourselves to be more wrong than our fathers and forefathers with their own dreamy contemplation of the future. What the sacred writer said is still true. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. In that case, the world had better pay attention to the one who knows what the X factor, the mystery factor, is. Tomorrow still lies hidden in the depths of the rich and mysterious wisdom of God, who created the whole business in the first place, and knows the limitations of humanity better than people know themselves. The writer of this ancient proverb knew a lot more about himself than most people know about themselves in the 20th century. He spoke out of a deep-seated conviction that God, the only one who really knows, has an interwoven plan which he will unveil moment by moment. Much to the surprise of all the self-appointed prophets and predictors who know so much and deliver so little. Even the big brains in the church have set out at one time or another to buy into what Time magazine once called a perpetual bull market in futures. Practically all the predictions ever made turn into dismal failures. Religious people can be just as wrong as irreligious people when it comes to tomorrow. The fact is that tomorrow may bring illness, sorrow, or tragedy into your own life. It may also announce an answer to your waiting prayer. It may introduce you to prosperity, the beginning of a new friendship, a choice opportunity for being and doing what you have never been or done before. Then again, it may bring just another 24 hours of waiting, and of trusting and seeking the direction of God, whose time always turns out to be the best time after all. Though the tools of technology may be wheeled out to see what is around the distant bend in the river, Only God knows what is really there and what is going to be there around the next bend. The whole world seems to be running pell-mell into the future, blindly following the guidance of a full-fledged industry developed in the latter part of the 20th century, trying to predict and to plan for what will happen. The Spirit of God needs to be reckoned with today. The Lord God is not against planning, but he's against boasting by people about what they plan to do. The Lord God is not an obscurantist, and he's not against sensible planning. As time pointed out, one useful symbol of inadequate planning might be the S-curve bridge that Chicago had to build when its North Lakeshore Drive failed to end at the same place as its South Lakeshore Drive. Planning for tomorrow is acting responsibly today. It's making wise use of time, talent, and treasure so that the next generation does not have to spend its whole time trying to pay the debts of the past. The writer of Proverbs said on another occasion, "Lazy people should learn a lesson from the way the ants live. They have no leader, chief, or ruler, but they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for the winter." The proverb of our time turns out to be true every day. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. A 16-year-old who drops out of high school as an act of rebellion against his parents is just mortgaging his whole future. What he's done is to close deliberately the door of opportunity. There are a few exceptions to this rule, those who intelligently backtrack and educate themselves. Even then, they destroy what they have built through boasting about what they have become, giving credit to themselves for the gifts with which God has endowed them and for which he is responsible. No matter how good and intelligent planning may be, it has its limitations. Workers plan for a grand retirement and are not around anymore at retirement age. Military leaders plan their strategy at great expense to the taxpayers, and then everyone finds out that the whole grand plan was obsolete even while they were planning. Manufacturers plan their production on the basis of consumer trends, only to discover that tomorrow is quite different from today when they did their planning. The whole business knocks human ingenuity and pride down a notch or two. That's exactly what the writer of the book of Proverbs pointed out a long time ago. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Isn't it about time that we recognize how foolish mortals can be, paying attention to anyone and anything that comes up, and refusing all the while to take seriously the one of whom the psalmist sang, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." When shall we realize that people were never designed to be self-sufficient, independent of the living God? St. Paul said, "We live and move and have our being in God." Living is conscious dependence on the very God that people disregard, to whom they do not hesitate showing disrespect, and before whom they even boast in outright contempt. A man became rich in the parable told by our Lord. His land yielded abundantly. Now on Easy Street, he thought to himself, "I've no place to store my crops. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I will say to myself, 'You have laid up enough goods for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and have a good time.'" The man was a fool because he thought he was the master of his own fate. One night there came a voice out of the howling darkness, "Fool that you are, this night your life will be required of you. Who then will call his own all that you have collected?" End of the story. It's foolish to think that you are in control of your destiny. It's foolish to put your trust in bank accounts, stocks, bonds, insurance policies, and property holdings as if They were the foundation of your security. Why is it foolish to boast about tomorrow? The writer of Proverbs answers, "You do not know what a day may bring forth." Roy Amara, president of the Institute for the Future in Menlo Park, California, puts it this way, "Even professional planners are learning from bruising themselves on the future's impenetrable surface to put only qualified belief in their own findings. Anything that you forecast is by definition uncertain." Now let's get to the certain, which is exactly what the song says it is. Whatever will be, the future's not up to me. Whatever will be is in the hands of God, believe it or not. Whatever will be comes with the full knowledge and grace of God. As the prophet said, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning." Facing an unknown future, you can still smile with St. Paul. What a wonderful God we have. How great are his wisdom and knowledge and riches. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods. Not knowing what a day can bring, you can make the new year an occasion for joy, looking to God and to Jesus Christ whom he has sent. You peek through the curtain which God himself has drawn over the future. What you see is a cross erected in our own history, doing for people what God wanted to have done. God himself has done away with sin for all time through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. He came and died and rose again, not for the death, but for the life of the world. Jesus Christ himself is God's hand reaching out to touch you. He took your place, atoning for your sins. He promises you forgiveness of those sins and a new life purely through faith in him. He's done it, and now you take it for yourself. That's faith in Christ. Peeking through the curtain of the future and guided by the cross of Christ, you suddenly realize that God is not only a righteous judge, which he certainly is, but also the Savior in the one whom he has sent to redeem the world. In him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. It is the good news of God. Does God really love you? Yes, he does. If God did not love the world, he wouldn't have sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. "It's not so much that we love God," said St. John, "but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a sacrifice for us all." God certainly does love. You can depend upon it. You can know it for sure with faith in Jesus Christ. Some may object to such a blanket statement. They may say, "God let my husband walk out on me for a younger woman. Does God love me?" Yes, he does. God let our 19-year-old daughter, our only child, the pride of our life, be killed in an auto accident. Does God love us? Yes, he does. My son-in-law is irresponsible. He won't look for a job. He's given us nothing but pain and misery. Does God love us? Yes, he does. We want a child of our own. We're unable to have one. Does God love us? Yes, he does. I prayed and prayed for years for a life mate, but have not found the right one yet. Does God love me? Yes, he does. I'm lonely, miserable. I've often wanted to die. Does God really love me? Yes, he really does. Every one of those questions was asked by a real person, and the answer comes from a real person. Jesus Christ is for real, and he is Lord. His answer is the cross where he died and the open tomb from which the stone was rolled away after he rose from the dead in great glory. You can be a professor of the faith without being a possessor of the faith. To many people, faith is like the backdrop on a television scene, which everybody knows is not real. Faith is the pulsating power God himself installs in human hearts to give people confidence that God is true, that Jesus Christ is for real, and that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in the world, just as he is right now through the ordinary words to which you are listening at this very moment. Faith is not just the scenery of life. It's the seeing of life itself in the person of Jesus Christ, living, dying, and risen from the dead to guarantee the future, whatever tomorrow may bring. No matter which way the wind may blow, God is faithful. No matter how artificial life may become, Jesus Christ is for real. No matter how lonely you feel at the moment, the Spirit of God encourages you to accept the promise of Christ. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. In that case, do not worry about tomorrow. Worry, like boasting, is unnecessary and counterproductive. Self-pity, like self-aggrandizement, dishonors God. Face tomorrow, trusting God with faith that holds fast and honors God with courageous love, warming the hearts of others just as your heart is warmed by the love of God toward you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is his guarantee. Boasting about yourself will fall of its own weight. Trusting in him dispels the clouds of worry about tomorrow. Until the day dawns and the day star rises in your own heart, Jesus Christ himself is that day star, ushering in a new and glorious tomorrow. He is Lord, not only of yesterday and today, he is Lord of tomorrow. Let him that boasts then, boast in the Lord. Amen.